Well, let's go ahead and turn in the scriptures to John and chapter 16, and we'll be starting at John 16:16 today. We'll be moving back up into scriptures before that in John 16 as we go through the sermon today. But we want to start at verse 16 of John 16 and actually now look at what Jesus said in his farewell address, the end part of his farewell address to the disciples. He began his farewell address at the Last Supper, chapter 14 of John. We've been through chapter 14 and 15. At the end of chapter 14, he said to them after the supper was over, "Arise, let us go." And so they left the upper room and they began to walk with Jesus Christ, eventually down Mount Zion to the Valley of Kidron, and then up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, about a third of the way up to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed and sweat great drops of blood before he went to the cross. His agony, his passion there in the garden. Now, they're on their way. And in chapter 16 is where he says his last words to them before the cross. In chapter 17, it's a prayer to the Father that Jesus prays to the Father for the disciples and for you and I. And then after that is the arrest. After that, well, is the passion in the garden and then the arrest and then the crucifixion. And Jesus didn't say much after that, but just committed himself to the righteous judge, to him who judges righteously, as he stood before Caiaphas and Pilate. But now he is really saying here the things that are deep on his heart to the disciples as they walk together in the night. And so let's take a look at verse 16 and read verses 16 through 22. And Jesus says this, "A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of his disciples among themselves, "What is this that he says to us, 'A little while, and you shall not see me'? And again, a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father." They said therefore, "What is this that he says, 'A little while'? We cannot tell what he says." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said to them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me'? And again, 'A little while, and you shall see me'? Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail or labor, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again." I love that line. "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, bless the reading of your word. Now, as we look at this section of scripture, we see that he used the clause "a little while" a lot. It's actually here in this just a small section of scripture, seven times he says "a little while," and just a little while. And this is something that's important. Now, seven is the number of completion in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, we know that God created the earth in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. It's a number of completion. In the book of Revelation, on the other hand, from Genesis, on the other side of the Bible, we read about the seven spirits of God, because that's the full work of the Holy Spirit of God. Seven spirits of God, God's number of completion. And so I don't think it's any accident that this clause, "a little while," is used here seven times to really represent a complete work of the Lord Jesus in all that he's saying to them. Now, as we examine this more closely, we're going to see three things that he's saying and referring to them as something that will be a sorrow, but then a blessing, and bringing the joy of the Lord into our lives. Three areas that he wants to speak about that are going to happen in a little while. You know, as I was studying for this sermon and I began reading this, Boy, that old Amy Grant song just came back to me. In a little while, na 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 na. You know that song? I hope you know that song. Anyway, in a little while. And I'm convinced that that's where she got this, is in this section of scripture. Now, as we look at this, the first thing then that we want to look at is going to happen in a little while, is this resurrection. They were sorrowful and they would lament for 3 days because the crucifixion was going to happen the next morning. But just 3 days later, he would rise from the dead and they would have joy. You will sorrow and lament, but have joy. Let's read verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. The scribes and Pharisees and the religious rulers of the time were seeking to put Jesus to death almost from the beginning of his ministry. They were plotting and planning and trying to catch him in his words and to put him to death. But he went on for 3.5 years in his ministry, but now finally he's dead. And they'll roll the stone. He's not dead yet here, but he's going to die on the cross. And they rolled the stone in front of that tomb, and they put a guard on that stone that no one would come and roll the stone back and steal his body. And so they're rejoicing. Yes, we're finally rid of him. And so the Lord Jesus says, yes, the world will rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And oh, the joy that we see with the disciples and the women that came early to the tomb when Jesus rose from the dead on that third day. We read in the scriptures, as the women came in Matthew 28:8, they came to the tomb early in the morning. There was an angel there that said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. And the scripture tells us in verse 8 of chapter 28 of Matthew that the women departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear, respect, and awe for God, and with great joy. Their joy was great. It just wasn't regular joy. It was great joy that they left that tomb because of the resurrection of Jesus, fulfilling that prophecy right here just 3 days afterward. 3 days afterward. That they would be sorrowful and lament, but their sorrow would be turned to joy. Also with the men. Now the women came and told the men, the tomb is empty. We saw a vision and we know that Jesus is risen from the dead. And the Bible says that they considered it just as idle tales. They just didn't believe. Well, a little later in the day, on the same resurrection day on Sunday, Jesus appeared right in the middle of those disciples. And the scripture says this about that. While they yet believed not for joy. Oh, the old joy bubbles were going. It was the adrenaline of just that joyful experience that they were just wondering. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he brought them back to earth. He said to them, hey, you guys got anything to eat? I love Jesus, don't you? He just brought them right down to reality. And so he got some fish and ate it. And this, of course, shows us that Jesus was all God. He's also all man. And Jesus Christ physically rose from the dead. And in essence, he was saying, guys, I've been laying on that cold slab there for 3 days, and I'm hungry. How about some food? And so they went and they got him some food. But the joy was contagious. The joy was just bubbling out, even before they could even believe it. Is that you, Master? Is that you, Lord? Is that you, Jesus, my Savior? And the joy was there. And so the prophetic fulfillment of what he said, that their sorrow would be turned to joy. Now, as we look at this, and as Jesus was talking about what would happen, we want to go ahead and consider Psalm 30, verse 5. And I'll just quote that to you. It says this, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, and it's the first time I ever put that scripture together, that Psalm 30, verse 5, if you wanted to look at it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Well, we put that together with resurrection morning, don't we? The women came in the morning, and there they were in the morning. And that's when the joy of the revelation came to them, and the joy began. Yes, there are times, especially late at night. Do you ever stay awake late at night and eat the bread of sorrows? Do you do that? That's a scripture. It's vain to stay up late at night and eat the bread of sorrows. Don't even look at the checkbook at midnight. Your wife's tired, she's ready for bed, and you go, "Why you looked at the checkbook?" Get a life, man. Go to bed. Get some sleep. I am convinced that God has made our bodies needing rest because He knew that we would fall, that we would be in a sinful world, we would have many battles every day. In heaven, you won't need rest. You ever feel like, I don't want to go to bed because I just don't want to miss anything? But when you get to heaven, you're not going to want to miss anything ever because it's going to be so great. And so in the Bible says in Revelation that there'll be no night there. We're not going to do the sleep thing in heaven. We'll have new bodies made out of titanium or something that's just able to really stay up all night, right? But until then, God gives us sleep. In fact, the scripture says that He gives to His beloved while they sleep, and that His mercies are new every morning. There might be weeping in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Just go to bed. Just get a good night's sleep. And when you wake up, it's brand new. Your strength is new. You've had your rest. And now God wants to help you face this particular day, because there's enough evil in each day sufficient thereof. And so the scripture, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning when His mercies are new. And Jesus, risen from the dead in the morning, brought great joy to the women and then to the men. Now let's go on back to John 16, verse 21. Let's take a look at verse 21. Jesus here wants to take an experience that most of us are familiar with in one way, shape, or form or another to let us know what He's talking about in this contrast, comparison and contrast between the sorrow and the joy. And He says, a woman, when she is in travail or labor, has sorrow because her hour is come. And yes, we know about that, don't we? Boy, I'll tell you, and we know, labor is tough. And God even talked about it as part of the curse, that a woman in sorrow and in labor would have her children. And I remember when I was taking Sherry over to the hospital, when one of our sons was born, there was a poor lady there that was screaming at the top of her lungs in the ward where babies are born. And boy, that shook me up right away, because I'm thinking she must be in horrible agony with all the screaming that was going on. And then I began to think, is Sherry going to do that? You know, is it going to come to that? Is it going to be that bad, you know? Sometimes I think it's harder on the men than it is on the women. Only kidding. Before you women rise up and storm the pulpit. That was a joke. Seriously, I remember the monitor. And you ladies that have babies, you'll have the monitor, you know, the monitor. And it's like a heart thing, and it shows when a labor pain is coming. You know, the line goes like this, and all of a sudden it starts up, and you go, "Whoa, here it goes." You know, I'm waiting to see if the screaming is going to start, you know. But Sherry's a very quiet lady, and so she dealt with it in a different way. It was just, and then as it gets to the top, when it's most intense, she would, and then it would subside. But oh, the pain, and you know about this, don't you? And you women know about this, and you husbands that have seen that, and grandkids and all the whole thing. But then Jesus says this. He says, but as soon as she is delivered, the child. She remembers no more the anguish. For joy that a man or woman, because this is a generic term here, is born into the world. And don't we know the truth about that too? The joy that's there with our children, with our grandchildren, and the happiness. My mother, every single birthday of my whole life, she always begins and she says, "Mark, I remember when you came forth and they put you in my hands and I laid you on my shoulder and you snuggled your little face in my neck." And oh, that breath, that I'll always remember your breath breathing on my neck as you snuggled. And I fell in love that day. Every single birthday I go through this. She tells me the same story. But you know, my mom has since then gotten Alzheimer's. And so she doesn't remember very much, but she remembers that. And three times this year so far, we only have one birthday, but three times this year, she's given me that story. "Mark, I remember." And so I'm just taken now to just snuggling her neck when she does that. And tickling her face because she hates that. So I have fun with her. But does a mother ever forget? No. The preciousness and the joy of childbirth. And this is why Jesus uses this example. Yes, there's sorrow. Yes, there's lamenting. Yes, there's hard times. But the weeping continue for a night, and joy comes in the morning. The joy of the resurrection and the promise that he says, "I will see you again. I will see you again." Now, not only with the resurrection at that time, but also in other places that apply to us today. The next thing is that Jesus is actually seen by you and I through the power of the Holy Spirit, in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The life of Christ is revealed to us, and we actually see Jesus. And this is one of the things that he's saying here when he says, "In a little while, you'll see me again." Let's take a look at verse 16 again. John 16:16. He says, "A little while, and you shall see me, and again a little while, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me." Why? Because I go to the Father. Now at the resurrection, he had not yet ascended to the Father, but he was to ascend to the Father 40 days later. And then 10 days after that, the gift of the Holy Spirit from heaven was sent to minister to us, to baptize the church in the Holy Ghost, to bring the birth of the first century church, to bring power and anointing to whereby Peter stood up and preached a sermon and 3,000 people came to Jesus. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that we might see Jesus. And he also meant this because he says, "I go to the Father" here. A little earlier in the scriptures, let's go back up to verse 7, he talks about this. He says, "I tell you the truth," verse 7, "it is expedient, or to your advantage, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And so it's very wonderfully to our advantage that he went away. For Jesus was just one man walking the earth. But as he goes to heaven, he sends back his Spirit that fills all of us at the same time and brings his comfort. He put it this way a little earlier in his sermon, in his farewell address. "I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." And actually, we see Jesus in the Spirit in just a little while because he goes to the Father. Now let's take a look at verse 12. It says, "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, says Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit receives from Jesus and then shows us the things of Jesus. So, a little while you won't see me, but again a little while you shall see me through the power of the Spirit that works in each one of us today. We see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and showing you things from him. All things that the Father has are mine, says Jesus. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And so the ministry of the Spirit. Now verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. The disciples were young. They were just beginning on their ministries, just beginning with the Lord. And the Lord could not show them all things before he went to the cross. But he said to them, I'm going to send back the Comforter who will teach you and show you all things. I have yet many things to say to you. You cannot bear them now. Now the Lord, if you can imagine, if he were to come to you at the minute you accepted Jesus and show you everything that was wrong with you, you'd probably never get up off your face. But that's not the way the Lord is. He, step by step, day by day, begins to reveal to us where we need to change. And he works with us like a patient, loving, doting father. Sometimes when a person has been saved for 3 weeks or whatever, and more mature Christians in the church are having interaction with the very young Christian, full of zeal, but oh, so many rough edges, and the older Christian will be tempted to go, whoa, do you ever have a long way to go? Give him 10 years. With the sweetness of the beauty of the power of God ministering deeply to that soul, and just watch the beautiful change in a life. That's why the Lord really wants us to flow in forgiveness and to cut people slack, because he's working. It just takes time. There's things that we can't bear at certain times, and the Lord waits and works and reveals and changes in his time. He makes all things beautiful in his time. And so this is done through the power and the blessing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we see him more clearly as the Holy Spirit ministers to us. And so this promise was given. Now, it talks about here just a little while this will happen. And indeed it did for the disciples. For the disciples just needed to wait 10 days after Jesus ascended into heaven for the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come. He had told them when he was about ready to depart from the Mount of Olives after being with them for 40 days, and he said, you need to wait here in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And 10 days later, 50 days after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit fell. Pente, for Pentecost, means 50. And so it was 50 days after. And the apostles received that touch of the Holy Spirit. And for you and I, as we open our hearts, that touch of the Holy Spirit comes to us. And the joy of the Spirit comes also. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. As we need comfort, as we need a touch of peace in our lives, as we need the joy of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is sent to go ahead and bring that touch just in time. Now, we must be still and waiting upon him for that. That's important. The Holy Spirit is a very gentle dove type image. That's what we get when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Spirit descended like a dove from heaven and lighted upon him. And I know that word light means to land, But I like it, the kind of the play on words there, because I picture the Holy Spirit coming and lightly landing on Jesus. Just a wonderful, gentle touch. And it brings to us the picture of waiting on the Lord. Now, if you are running 1,000 miles an hour and playing loud music when you're not running and watching TV when you're not playing loud music and taking off for Disneyland at night and Knott's Berry Farm in the morning, the Holy Spirit is going to be exhausted trying to catch up with you. Just when he's starting to land, you go, we got to stop. Turn off the fast brain. That's hard to do sometimes. Once the brain gets going, it's hard to turn it off. So the thing to do is to just calm down and wait and let the Lord minister. And as we wait on Him, and that's what you're really doing today, the Spirit can come and minister. No matter what's going on in your life, the joy of the Lord, and sometimes it's not a happy, laughy joy, but just a deep, abiding joy of the Lord will be there. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit of God who comes to minister and to lift up. Let's go to Psalm 30, verse 11, and let's turn to it now, this time, Psalm 30 and verse 11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing, and thou hast put off my sackcloth. Sackcloth is a very rough material that they would wear when they were bummed, like a burlap bag. You would put on a burlap bag. Doesn't that sound like fun? But thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thee thanks. I will give thanks unto you forever. This is why David writes in another psalm, Psalm 42 and 43, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? I will yet praise the Lord. There was a faith there. The time of praising would come again. This is just a season of the soul. And the Lord will turn our mourning into dancing, because He has promised He will not leave us comfortless, but will come to us. And the joy will come again. The time for praising will come again. And so I am to trust in the Lord. Hope thou in God, as David puts it. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise the Lord, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to thee forever. As He comes and brings that sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, come right inside us, filling us with your love. And so Jesus here, in His final address, is addressing the issue of the Holy Spirit, that He would not leave them comfortless, and that they would not go through life not being able to see Him, but He would send the Comforter, each one of them, each one of us, to minister and to go ahead and bring that comfort just the time we need it. Now, the third and final thing then He's saying here in this completion set of just a little while is that He is coming back for the church. One day He's coming back for each one of us, whether we're here during for the rapture of the church or we pass away first, or I like to put it, fly away to the Lord. We're going to see the Lord Jesus face to face, and He's ministering about that right here in this farewell address. So let's go back now to John 16, 16 again. A little while and you shall see me, not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now this is a clause, I go to the Father, that we can spring back to the beginning of His farewell address and talk about His second coming. And let's just go back there for review to John 14 and verse 1. Just turn a couple pages back in the Gospel of John This is when he began to speak to them, his farewell address. And he says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, for if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In a little while you won't see me, and yet a little while you'll see me. You will see me, because I go to the Father. I go, for what reason? To prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will see you again. I will see you again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so the Lord Jesus is working hard up in heaven to prepare a place for each one of you so that he can see you face to face and you will spend eternity with him. Now, you might say, "Pastor Mark, wait a minute. This is clause here that you've just mentioned seven times in a little while. Is the Lord really promising me that he's coming in a little while?" The Bible really speaks of that deeply and wonderfully in the sense that our lives here are very short. Let's first of all go to Romans chapter 9 and verse 28. Romans chapter 9, verse 28. It says in verse 28 of Romans chapter 9, "He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." It is in his mind, the Lord's mind, a very short work that's happening on this earth. You see, the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And to him, the time here on earth is a drop in the proverbial bucket. It's a time of education, a time of training for us, a time of being conformed to the image of his Son, and it only lasts a short time in God's economy, a very short time. Let's go ahead and turn to the last scriptures we're going to look at today on this subject in the Old Testament, which is really given in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But let's turn to Psalm 103, verse 13. And this will be the last turn you'll make today. Psalm 103 and verse 13. Now, verse 13 of Psalm 103 says this, "Like as a father pities or has compassion on his children, so the Lord pities or has compassion for them that fear him, that respect him, that have awe for him, that stand in awe of him, and yes, have that fear for him, as you would for a really good dad. He says, for he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust." He understands that we were made from the dust of the earth. He was the one that did it. Genesis chapter 2, that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. He understands our weaknesses. He understands the things that we are faced with and the temptations. He was tempted in every point, like as we, yet without sin. But he has compassion on our frame, remembering that we are dust. "As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more." So the Lord sees you as a flower, yea, a beautiful flower. But how long do flowers last? Not long. Not long at all, do they? Spring comes, the hills are filled with green and the mustard plant, and it's beautiful for a couple of months. Out behind my office, these beautiful purple flowers bloom every spring. I can't wait to see them every spring, and the girls like to go pick them out there. And they're just beautiful. Reminds me of the Passion because they're purple. But in a few weeks, they're gone. The Lord is just letting us know in love, that's the way it is for us. You know, when you're in your early 20s, you think you're going to live forever. And then all of a sudden you're 30, and then 40 sneaking up. Then you're 50, then you're 58. Well, I remember my grandmother, so she's so cute, Nano, our Nano. She's with the Lord now, so she's got a body that's much better than mine now. But I remember she was watching the home videos, and she said, "Who is that old woman?" And it was her. That happens. Oh yeah. We get an oh yeah on that one. You see, we bloom like a flower and we're beautiful, and but all of a sudden we'll be gone. There was a sister last night that had a picture of her aunt who's 104. And I looked at the picture and I thought, I don't want to live to be 104. Lord, take me sooner than that, please. And 100 years is not long. In a little while, we'll be gone forever. In a little while. In a little while, we're going to see the Father. Can't you see his smile? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just a little while. Because the Lord is doing a short work on the earth. A short work. And so we get the exhortation then of verses 17 and 18 of Psalm 103. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And we have the 100 years right here. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And 100 years right here. The little tiny dot of your lifetime. The flower that blooms and flourishes and is gone. And so it says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting, everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness upon children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. Brothers and sisters, as the Church of Jesus Christ, why waste time on silly, sad sin? Why waste any more of your time? You have so little of it on this earth, displeasing God. Why do we spend time doing things that we know will get us in trouble, will hurt ourselves and hurt those around us, when we need to just spend time obeying Jesus Christ, being close to him in the little things, the everyday things? I read a devotional this morning that ministered to me so much by Oswald. He wrote this devotional in 1800s, and it's called My Utmost for the Highest. And in this devotional, he said something that I always knew but never put words to it. That when we're young, and when we're not young many times, we think that God has a spectacular star-bursting job for us to do that we're just going to rocket into, and just, it's going to be a grandiose work that God's going to do through us. And we're excited about that. But mundane living is just too much to ask for. So this devotional had to do with, as we grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and we get a little older in the Lord, we begin to realize that he is in the mundanities of life. And it's the little choices and the little decisions that we make every day and the singing that begins to come through our souls through everyday living that displays the glory of God in our lives and produces that good, perfect work that he's doing. When we learn that, it's a good thing. You just put one foot in front of the other. And sometimes for your job, when it's hard, you just show up. I made it here. That's all I got. And ask for the grace of God to help you through the day. And not get bored with Christian living. but excited about Jesus every day. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day through the joy of the Holy Spirit to keep up with the mundanities. And as we do the mundanities of life day by day in Jesus, he is blessed and pleased. He's not looking for a great starburst. Shooting stars burn out quick. And really, that kind of thing is for the world. But you and I are called to a long-distance race. You and I are everyday living, step at a time, day at a time, being conformed to his image, doing the commandments of the Lord, being serious-minded about that. We only have a little time. It's just a little while. And Jesus will come again, or we'll find ourselves slipping into eternity. One of those two is going to happen really quick. And then it's on into forever with the plutonium body and moving with the Lord. So let's go ahead and pray. Have you remain seated, because what we're doing is we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to have more worship of the Lord before we end the service, a couple of songs. So we want to just pray seated. So let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these seven, just a little while. And Lord, we know it's true. It's so true. Lord, thank you, Father, for those times that we can think, as bad as I felt yesterday, I feel that good today. Lord, how many times that happens because of your Holy Spirit. It's always and only you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from you, the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow of turning. And so, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to remember the joy and to stay close to your Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you have said, and we take those words in, I will see you again. I will see you again. And Lord, thank you that we will see you face to face one day. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that us and our loved ones and our church would be counted worthy to escape the things that are going to come upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Band's going to come now, and let's worship the Lord. Just rise up. There's a scripture in the Psalms that it says, rise up. And sometimes we just kind of sit back. Let's worship God, okay, guys? Let's worship him. Let's worship the Lord. Okay. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, oh, how we'd love to just give you an opportunity to do that. Prayer room's open for you. You can see the door open here. There's brothers here who can pray for you to receive Jesus and to actually receive them, those promises in the Bible. You believe in God, believe also in me, the Lord Jesus said. It's a prerequisite to going to heaven and to going to that place that he would prepare for you. Don't leave here today without Christ in your heart. Oh, the Lord just loves you. And we're not going to make you do push-ups or steal your wallet or something, you know. We just want you to go to heaven. So just come on up and get saved today. God bless you with that. And if you need prayer for anything, you know what? There's all kinds of lovely Christians in this room. I'm looking at them right now. Most people here just shining with Jesus, and they're ready to pray. This is a house of prayer. If you need prayer, grab somebody and pray together. Or you can come on up here also, and we'll pray with you up here. So may the Lord bless you. May God just continue to fill you and use you and give you encouragement and hope in the Holy Ghost. May you see him more clearly, because he lives right here, doesn't he? God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.